Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. I'm wondering today what the dinner table conversations must be like right now in Kellyanne Conway's house. She's been on CNN this week defending the president on the Trump-Ukraine scandal.
No quid pro quo in this call in terms of the president.
But last night, Kellyanne's husband, the anti-Trump conservative lawyer George Conway, argued that a tweet from Rudy Giuliani yesterday proves that Trump committed an impeachable offense. Let's unpack this. Rudy is in trouble. The president's defense attorney announced yesterday that he has hired three defense attorneys of his own. Why? Because he's under investigation for his dealings with those two guys he was working for, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, who are now criminally charged by the U.S. Justice Department. What did they allegedly do? Well, they allegedly made illegal campaign contributions in their effort to get our ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, fired. Rudy wanted her fired, too, to help Trump's campaign. Did he break the law, like Parnas and Fruman allegedly did in trying to make that happen? So yesterday, this all got more interesting in a way that Kellyanne Conway's husband noticed. Giuliani hired three lawyers, and then he wrote this tweet. The investigation I conducted concerning 2016 Ukrainian collusion and corruption was done solely as a defense attorney to defend my client, the president, against false charges. So Giuliani is saying he was involved in Ukraine solely as Trump's personal lawyer. Very interesting that he says that now, because here's what he said on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox in September.
I went to meet Mr. Zelensky's aide at the request of the State Department. 15 memos make that clear. I didn't know Mr. Yermak on July 19, you see it right there, 2019 at 4:48 in the afternoon, I got a call from Volker. Volker said, would you meet with him? It would be helpful to us. We really want you to do it.
So that's very curious, right? To defend himself then, Giuliani said he was working in Ukraine for the State Department. Yesterday, after lawyering up, the first thing he does is tweet that, no, he was only a private lawyer. So why does George Conway say this proves Trump committed an impeachable offense? We'll get to that part with our very special guest today. He is Lanny Davis, the veteran Washington lawyer who has played some similar roles himself. He is Michael Cohen's defense lawyer. He was a lawyer for President Bill Clinton during the Clinton investigations. If Rudy Giuliani has been President Trump's TV lawyer, I think it's fair to say that Lanny Davis, once upon a time, was President Clinton's. And he is author of the book, The Unmaking of the President, 2016, How FBI Director Jim Comey Cost Hillary Clinton the presidency. Mr. Davis, hello, and thank you so much for coming on. Can you hear me? I think Lanny Davis
is... I'm sorry. Thank you for having me on, and what a timely moment since I stretch, maybe the only one that stretched the generation of defending one president on impeachment. And now we have another president who... we'll probably go into why there are so many differences on this impeachment process versus the one that I was involved in, but to especially be able to remind everyone about the factually indisputable history of Rudy Giuliani lying and contradicting himself sometimes within minutes of an interview.
Well, what do you make? Let's get specific. What do you make of Rudy Giuliani's conflicting statements, specifically about his role in Ukraine as either representing the State Department or just representing Trump as a private lawyer?
Well, first of all, let's start with the statement that he represented Trump as a private lawyer when he asked the Ukraine government to dig up dirt on Joe Biden that, of course, only benefits President Trump in a reelection political campaign. Doesn't benefit the American people to dig up dirt on Joe Biden unless he says it's in the American people's interest for a foreign government to try to influence a presidential election, put aside whether Joe Biden is good or bad. So he's now saying that he asked a foreign government to interfere in our presidential election to help President Trump's political objectives as a private attorney, meaning that President Trump was not even arguably doing it on behalf of the American people, which is his oath of office, and what Alexander Hamilton described as his only definition of an impeachable offense, which is abuse of presidential power for personal private purposes rather than for public purposes.
And that's exactly
President Trump's
to close the loop on
admitting that.
Right. So to close the loop on George and Kellyanne Conway, what George Conway tweeted yesterday in response to Giuliani's tweet was, quote, "This tweet by itself establishes that Donald Trump committed an impeachable offense. To say that Giuliani's and Trump's pursuit of Ukrainian corruption, quote unquote, was done solely to protect Trump's interests establishes that Trump was not acting for the country." So that's how George Conway put it. It seems like you're in exactly the same place.
Yeah, precisely, but it's really too minimal to just say that. There are so many factually indisputable instances where Donald Trump committed an impeachable offense that the case is over. Other than Lindsey Graham and other deniers, and the word deniers has been applied in a most ugly context in world history. We have climate deniers. Now we have truth deniers about Donald Trump. His own words established in the summary of his telephone call that he asked a foreign government to do something that was political to help him. The Democratic National Committee was responsible for the hacking is about his political campaign. Joe Biden dirt is about his political campaign. That's in the transcript. You don't need a quid pro quo, which is a bribe.
It's in the transcript, and Trump allies all over the place. Gordon Sondland the other day, now Rudy Giuliani in this tweet, confirm it. Of course, when you say the case is over, the factual case seems decreasingly in dispute. I guess the debate in the Senate, in political terms, tell me if you disagree, is not going to be so much believers and deniers. I think it's going to be it's going to be that Republicans will say, yeah, this was bad behavior, but it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. You think that's what the next couple of months are going to be about?
Well, that's the last desperate refuge when a lawyer has facts and the facts can't be denied. And of course, they were denying the facts until all the evidence started to pile up. They were certainly denying that the transcript literally convicted Donald Trump of abusing his powers for his personal purposes by asking a foreign government to intervene in our election. That was being denied for a while. I think it was the President of the United States, the ultimate denier of all, who said, read the transcript. He has it on T-shirts at his rallies. The transcript establishes that he asked a foreign government to help him politically. So before we get to what an impeachable offense is, there's no denying that, even though he's claiming that it was a perfect transcript, and Republicans obviously just spout whatever he says. Then the next thing that was being denied was the quid pro quo, meaning I'm not giving you aid unless you do this. Now that evidence is so overwhelming that even Gordon, Ambassador Sondland, had to, quote, correct the record, and now suddenly, oops, right, I made a mistake. Right. In other words, I committed perjury, now I want to reverse and not commit perjury. Now, by the way, as a criminal matter, mm-hmm, you don't get to correct perjury. You get to ask for a lenient sentence because you realize you're not going to get away with lying, which is what happened. But the main thing is it an impeachable offense? And, of course, partisan politicians will never say that anything is an impeachable offense, and they'll vote no.
Listeners,
but
we have
fair-minded Americans, fair-minded Americans who aren't partisan politicians worrying about Donald Trump tweeting against them, will say, wait a minute, isn't it a crime if I say, I will give you money if you commit an official act as president of Ukraine? Isn't that bribery? Yes. Is that an impeachable offense if a president commits a crime of bribery?
And we know
we'll let Republicans
That's
argue
right.
that it isn't,
right.
but of course, and of most course, Americans would say yes.
And we know that bribery is one of the two things with treason listed correct. As specific impeachable offenses in the Constitution. We'll see, I guess, if Republican voters get angry enough about all this to put pressure on their Republican senators when we presumably get to that point. Listeners, my guest is Lanny Davis, who, among other things, represents Michael Cohen and is a long-term ally of the Clintons, represented Bill Clinton during the investigations during his presidency. And we can take a few phone calls for Lanny Davis at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You represent Michael Cohen. One of Giuliani's new lawyers, Robert Costello, also represented Michael Cohen. Did you and Costello work together?
No. Rachel Maddow, are you listening? No. Costello never represented Michael Cohen. Let me repeat that. It is a lie that Costello, who actually, I believe, committed at least arguably criminal act by dangling the possibility of a pardon and sending Michael texts, you have friends in high places who love you, referring to Donald Trump in the White House. Costello was pitching Michael Cohen to represent him, then sent him a bill for $40,000 or something, including lots of hours spent that we couldn't even figure out why did he spend those hours. And Michael never hired him. In fact, Michael said, no, I don't want you. So can you break the news and get it out on the wire services that the idea, and I admire Rachel Maddow greatly, but she headlined her colloquy last night, her narrative last night, that now Giuliani's hired the former Michael Cohen lawyer.
Well, it's not
that's
just Rachel. Rachel,
100% false.
This is in other news organizations, too, not just Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
National Law Journal, Washington Post.
All over. First of all, WNYC, I'm a Jersey City boy, and my dad used to listen to WNYC all day while he was practicing dentistry. I'm a great admirer of your station. Let's break news right now. It is 100% false that Costello ever represented Cohen. Indeed, Costello was lying to Cohen about the possibility of a pardon, which he denies. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I won't use the word lying. He was inaccurately describing that he never mentioned the word pardon, but he certainly was never Michael Cohen's lawyer.
Interesting.
Never.
And if that's true, does it matter to the big picture?
No.
Right. But the thing, I'll ask you about this incident that you referred to anyway, because I'm somewhat familiar with it. Now I've lost it. Let's see.
It was about Costello and the dangling of a pardon. Mr. Costello, with all due respect to him, has a different opinion. He thought he was acting as Michael Cohen's lawyer, even though there was never a retainer agreement, and Michael never signed any retainer agreement. He was assuming he was acting as a lawyer. That's not it.
But the incident was Costello once told Michael Cohen, when he was under investigation, you can sleep easy tonight, you have friends in high places, referring to Rudy Giuliani, correct?
In writing, yes.
So what was that about?
Yes. Our interpretation, so I'm trying to give Mr. Costello the benefit of the doubt. I withdraw the word liar. He's just mistaken. There was never any possibility that Michael Cohen would have hired Costello because he was an agent of Giuliani's or an associate. He described himself as well as having friends in high places who thinks you're great. Michael Cohen was still within the tent that President Trump wanted to keep him in, which is to continue to lie for President Trump. And he's in prison because he lied for President Trump, not because he did anything to benefit himself. Mm-hmm. He lied to Congress about the Moscow-Trump Tower negotiations because President Trump knew they were ongoing while he was telling everyone at rallies, no Russia, no discussion. So all of this was for the benefit of President Trump, except for a tax claim that we really don't think deserved criminal treatment. But in any event, what's important here is that President Trump, despite what Mr. Mueller could not conclude, because Mr. Mueller fairly said he can't be tried until after he's president, I'm not going to accuse him of anything. The fact is that we're now seeing a president acting not only the evidence is with criminal behavior, but forget about criminality, in violation of the Constitution by abusing his powers to ask a foreign government to interfere in our presidential election, undisputed. And that there was a quid pro quo, which was being disputed. President Trump repeated over and over again, no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo. We know that when President Trump repeats things over and over again, the exact opposite is the truth.
So Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani have this big thing in common. They were both defense attorneys for Donald Trump, who are both themselves now in trouble with the law. Cohen is actually in prison, as you were just describing, as his lawyer. Giuliani is at least being investigated. I'm curious how you see their situations as similar or different.
Well, Michael Cohen would say, and he did say publicly to Republicans who were trying to apologize and defend everything about Michael, attacking Michael and defending Trump. At one point, in a very memorable moment, as I sat behind him, and I think it was Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, the most partisan Trump supporter in the entire Congress.
Congressman Jim Jordan.
Was attacking Michael Cohen in all sorts of ways for lying. He forgot to say the only lie that Michael Cohen pled guilty for, one lie, was at the behest of President Trump for his benefit, that the Trump Tower negotiations didn't occur during the campaign. Michael said to him, it was a very insightful moment, same thing I would say to you now about Giuliani, I know what you're doing. I did it for 10 years.
What's he doing?
I lied. I facilitated crimes, corruption, fraud for Donald Trump. And I know his codes. When he says, no collusion, no collusion, no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, does that sound familiar? And then he has T-shirts, read the transcript, it was perfect. His code is whatever he says, the listener learns, it's exactly the opposite.
People sometimes say...
Now he sees Giuliani doing the same thing.
And I wonder what's going to happen to Giuliani, because people sometimes say Trump has a reverse Midas touch. Anyone who gets too close to him, their lives don't turn to gold. They turn to something that's the opposite. Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, go down the list. What does it say that even lawyers who work for Trump wind up in legal trouble themselves at this rate?
Well, in the case of Giuliani, he wouldn't be hiring a criminal defense lawyer, and he has hired Mr. Costello, unlike Michael Cohen. And I'm told that he's a good criminal defense lawyer. He wouldn't be hiring him if he didn't think he was vulnerable. This is a former U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York who secretly, up until he was outed, attempted to extort, which is another crime of extortion as well as bribery, the president of the Ukraine by saying, if you don't give us dirt and make a public announcement and use the name Biden and the Democratic National Committee, you can't just say corruption, which is their line, you have to say Biden and the DNC. That's what his mission was. Now, he said openly he was doing it on behalf of Donald Trump. And that's a crime. So if that can be proven, Mr. Giuliani's going to prison.
I wonder if Trump will now throw Giuliani under the bus. Whenever Trump's associates get into trouble, he suddenly doesn't know them very well, like in this case with Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort worked for me for a very short period of time.
Or in this case with Michael Cohen.
Very low-level work.
Why did you need him?
He did more public relations than he did law, but he did stuff you'd see him on television. He was okay on television.
Or in this case with the current Giuliani associates and big Trump donors, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman.
I don't know those gentlemen.
Do you hear a pattern there?
Michael said to Mr. Jordan, who was drinking the Kool-Aid, Mr. Jordan, I know what you're doing. You're lying for Donald Trump. I did it for 10 years. So, yes, this is all very familiar Trump tactics.
By the way,
he was ready to throw his family under the bus at times, Michael would say.
It's even been
Donald
reported.
Jr., yeah. Donald Jr., he mocked openly as having, in front of a room full of people, the worst judgment of any human being is my son, Donald Jr. He throws his family under the bus.
I didn't remember that.
So what's that? What else is
if he said that about the worst judgment? It's even been reported that the reason that Lev Parnas has now said he'll cooperate with the impeachment inquiry is that he felt so snubbed by Trump saying that. Do you believe that to be true?
Yes, but he's also doing it to save his skin. Mr. Parnas is in serious trouble. It's not just the campaign conduiting of foreign money, which he's been indicted for, but it's also that he was part of a conspiracy to ask a foreign government leader to interfere in an American election. Mr. Mueller laid out the federal statutes that are violated when you solicit help from a foreign government to interfere and corrupt an American election. But I believe anyone involved in this effort in dealing with, whether it's a prosecutor in the Ukraine whose affidavit was a joke, or anybody else who's been involved in an effort to solicit help from Zelensky to help Trump in the election, read the Mueller affidavit of all the Russians. They were indicted for attempting to corrupt an American election. That's a violation of several federal laws that protect the integrity of our election. So, yes, I believe everyone is in trouble who touched this obsession with Donald Trump, not only in reelecting himself in 2020, which is never going to happen, in my opinion, but he's still re-litigating the 2016 election, denying that the Russians interfered, despite all the evidence and every intelligence agency and the detailed indictment by Mr. Mueller that everybody should reread. Well, I knew Lindsey Graham saying no crime was committed. Is he aware of federal statutes that make it a crime not only to bribe, not only to extort, but to solicit help from a foreign government to interfere in an American election is a federal crime?
Do you think the testimony by Lev Parnas, if he does give testimony to the impeachment committees, could hurt either Trump or Giuliani with anything we don't already know?
Well, I don't know about Trump because Trump is so clever. He doesn't ever explicitly instruct anyone to do anything that can be traceable back to him. Just to remind your listeners, the great scene in A Man for All Seasons, I think it was, or maybe it was not Man for All Seasons, it was the scene with Henry II saying to his knights, "Will nobody rid me of that meddlesome priest?" Now, he never ordered his knights to slice off the head of the Archbishop of Canterbury. When Michael Cohen went in to see President Trump in February of 2018, and he had to answer the question of the Senate and House Intelligence Committees, "Did your negotiations on the Moscow Trump Tower continue through the campaign of Donald Trump, even though Donald Trump denied it throughout the whole campaign?" He went in to see President Trump in the Oval Office. And as he publicly testified, Mr. Trump just kept repeating all over again, all over again, "No collusion, no Russia, no discussions," over and over again. And as Michael testified, "I knew the code. I got the message." And then when he spoke to the president's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, he specifically has testified that he got the message. "No discussions after January 31, 2018. He wrote that in a letter. That was a lie, because the Iowa caucuses were the next day. That's why they picked that date. So the answer to your question is, tracing something directly back to President Trump will have to be through the testimony of others who received more direct instruction.
Interesting.
And probably Rudy Giuliani is the only one who directly talked to President Trump. That's why I had a phone call to Zelensky. Do you remember how many times he would say, "Talk to Rudy, talk to Rudy"? Mm-hmm. There was a reason why the godfather in any family would say, "I don't like that man." He wouldn't say, "Whack him." Well, Donald Trump speaks in code to Rudy Giuliani
he followed the instructions. Now we have to Rudy Giuliani throwing Trump under the bus by saying, oh, I was only working for Trump. Yeah. This personal interest, I wasn't working on behalf of the State Department and the National Public Interest.
Interesting, because I was asking if you thought Trump would throw Giuliani under the bus. You're saying with this statement, Giuliani is throwing Trump under the bus by Giuliani saying he was only Trump's defense attorney, not working on behalf
no
of
doubt.
The government.
If anything in this interview is worthy of not sounding as if I am the partisan Democrat that I freely admit that I am, there is a simple fact. An attorney representing a client is not allowed to throw the client under the bus.
Well, how does that statement throw Trump under the bus?
Because he is saying, I was doing this for Donald Trump's personal interests. I was his personal lawyer. He wasn't saying, I was acting on behalf of the American people assigned to do so by the State Department. That's the line he took that tried to draw the line between the public interest and personal interest.
So he sort of
Alexander Hamilton said, that's the line between impeachable and removable.
Right.
And
so Giuliani is throwing Trump under the bus by confirming that Trump was running Ukraine policy for his own personal advantage, not for the interest of the United States. Now, you
Ipsa loquitur. Ipsa loquitur is the thing speaks for itself. Giuliani has just said that in his own words and convicted, not just impeached, convicted the president of abusing his power for personal reasons.
My guest is attorney Lenny Davis, who represents Michael Cohen, has represented Bill Clinton and others. You might have a weird conflict of interest here yourself because you represent Cohen, which means you want to prove Trump is corrupt, as you've been arguing, but you also represented this guy, Dmitry Firtash, described as a Ukrainian oligarch holed up in Vienna, fighting extradition to the U.S. on bribery and racketeering charges. According to Time magazine, Firtash's lawyers have gathered documents that make controversial allegations against Joe Biden and Robert Mueller, and that Firtash's lawyers have passed these documents on to associates of Giuliani. Were you one of those lawyers?
No, I was substituted for by Mr. DeGeneva and Ms. Tenzing, who are Fox News contributors and openly hostile to Democrats and Barack Obama.
How did
you and them
wind up on the same side?
We didn't. Representing the same client is not the same side. I represented Firtash about an indictment in Chicago that the former U.S. Attorney of Chicago, happens to be a Republican, and the former Secretary of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, happens to be a Republican, and I were criminal defense lawyers about an indictment that had nothing to do with racketeering. You just said something totally false that's been written all over the media. Nothing to do, not alleged at all. Not even a bribe was alleged in the indictment. You see how many times reported that he was indicted for bribery. 100% false. The indictment never alleges that Firtash paid any bribes. So you can see that the media has really failed to do its fact-checking job. What I was hired to do was to read the indictment and make sure the media read the indictment so it didn't misreport. And we allowed one of the best trial lawyers in America, Dan Webb, to address an indictment that we, as lawyers, thought was specious. That's it. And once I left in July, all of this Biden, all of this political activity in the context of a criminal case occurred, and that was after I left.
I realize that you have attorney-client privilege, but you're also in a unique position to decode the situation we're in, or part of it, because your former client, Firtash, has hired Joe DeGeneva and Victoria Tensing, who are close to Trump and Fox News watchers know well. They got a meeting with Bill Barr, the attorney general, this summer. Firtash, as I understand it, also paid Lev Parnas, that Rudy buddy looking for dirt in Ukraine, who's now going to cooperate with the investigation. So go as far as you can and explain to us what's going
on
there.
Thank you for being sensitive. I believe Dmitry Firtash is innocent of the charges that are almost silly brought against him in Chicago. And I refer to a former U.S. attorney's opinion about the speciousness of the charges. That's it. Had nothing to do with anything you just mentioned.
I'm not allowed to comment on the reasons that were expressed to me for being substituted for by these two individuals. I can only say I only focused on what I regarded, and two very good criminal defense lawyers with me regarded, as a specious, almost laughable indictment. Do you realize that Firtash has never been to the United States, never done business in the United States, has no agent in the United States? The transaction he was contemplating, which is an Indian mine, he was alleged to have conspired to pay bribes in India, where no bribes were ever alleged to have been paid. The case is almost laughable, but when you see bad reporting using words like racketeering, utterly false.
Does Firtash
in the indictment? Then I get a little bit back to the days when I was working on this. I was trying to say to the media, whatever you think of Firtash, let's get facts to be facts. Be a good journalist. Don't report something that isn't a fact.
Does Firtash have anything real on Joe Biden that the public should know about, in your opinion, if he reportedly shared some kinds of documents? Or would you assert on the other side of that that he doesn't?
Look, I am not allowed to violate any confidences or information that I obtained from Mr. Firtash, but I can answer this. During my work for Mr. Firtash, not once did I ever see a shred of evidence that Joe Biden acted in any way improperly. I do know factually that the IMF, the European Union, and everyone in Ukraine regarded this particular prosecutor as corrupt, and his dismissal had nothing to do with Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. That's all in the fantasy mind of Donald Trump, who's still claiming that the Russians had nothing to do with interfering with the 2016 election. So there's all fantasy invented by Donald Trump in his mind. I think he's gotten to the sociopathic point where he doesn't even know it's fantasy anymore. But to answer your question, I knew nothing about any of that, and he certainly never, with me, presented any evidence or any effort about Joe Biden.
So last thing on Firtash. What's your understanding of Giuliani's relationship to Firtash on Trump Ukraine?
It's a funny question because there's a headline in The Hill about me that I represented a racketeer or criminal named Firtash in the Ukraine. And now Giuliani, of course, is singing Firtash's praise. He actually referred a reporter to me that I would help him by defending Firtash. Of course, I told the reporter I was defending an indictment that was specious, that would never stand the light of day if a jury ever heard the evidence.
You know, I have that clip. Let me play this, the thing you just referred to. Here's 20 seconds of Rudy Giuliani.
He is considered to be one of the close associates of another guy named Mogilevich, who's the head of Russian organized crime, who is Putin's best friend. Lanny Davis has represented him for 4 or 5 years. If the newspapers are correct, he gets $80,000 a month from this guy, who's considered to be one of the high-level Russian organized crime members or associates.
Your reaction?
Either he's a pathological liar or a sociopath or both. First of all, I wish I were paid $80,000 a month. Because I chose to disclose that I would be doing media work for Mr. Firtash as well as legal work. I chose to err on the side of transparency, even though there's an exemption for criminal defense lawyers on the fair. Secondly, what Mr. Giuliani repeats as association with organized crime. Do you notice he doesn't say a single fact? He uses the passive tense. Not once in the indictment, in any court of law, has anyone ever shown evidence that Mr. Firtash is involved in Russian organized crime. He had one dinner meeting with someone who is associated, and that's all that I know of. Now, all of the allusions and innuendo from Mr. Giuliani are suddenly forgotten because now he's praising Mr. Firtash and working with the pro-Putin and Giuliani with Mr. Firtash, and that's since I left, so, and I won't comment on that.
So
but Giuliani is really remarkably a Saturday Night Live version of himself. He cannot be taken seriously. He either lies or doesn't know that he lies. on the one hand, accuses me of working for a mobster. On the other hand, he's now working for somebody that he says has important information on Joe Biden. Well, neither one of which is true, but that doesn't matter to Giuliani.
Let me take a phone call for you from Melanie, calling from Kent, Ohio. Melanie, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener. I used to live in Manhattan, grew up in Ohio, and I have lifelong Rust Belt roots. I have a sister in Fresno, California, Trump supporter. I have a sister in Arizona, voted for Trump after voting for Obama twice. I have nephews here who are like staunch Trump supporters. And all I can say to all of this is, just like we Democrats, we didn't change our opinion on impeaching Clinton when he was having his extramarital affairs. And all those women who accused him, in hindsight, I'm sure we all realized they were probably all telling the truth. We destroyed so many lives, but none of us, including myself, I say this is all Democrats. We didn't want to get him out of office. We liked what he was doing. And the same holds true with my family and the way they feel about Trump. And all I can say about this thing with Ukraine is the optics on Biden alone is enough to sink his election, because the reason people voted for Trump is because they think that both sides of the government are in the pocket of Wall Street. So they voted for Trump because they wanted to see real change. And all this proves is that Biden is his son. You know, we're still in the pocket of Wall Street and can be bought. It's like, you know, politics as usual. Now, that doesn't mean that I totally agree with what's happening. I totally believe that they're doing the right thing by impeaching him. He will not be removed from office, and it's not going to change anybody's opinion on Trump, just like it didn't change ours on Clinton. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. That's what I'm hearing, and that's just the way I think it's going
to
roll.
Lanny Davis, what do you say to Melanie in Kent, Ohio?
Well, first of all, it's disappointing to hear anybody who sounds as intelligent, rational, and balanced as the caller, that she repeats optics as a functional equivalent of guilt. There is literally not a shred of evidence that Joe Biden or Hunter Biden did anything corrupt. Not even a slight.
It's the fact that no, that's not that. It's like the political insiderness of getting jobs. Because of who your connections
so now
are.
We're
that's all.
Excuse me for interrupting you.
You didn't commit any illegal offense. It's nothing illegal.
So we're now in a world where even someone who sounds as intelligent and balanced as you are ready to say on the radio that he did something wrong because of optics? Is that how far? You know, the last time we heard that in America, where we defended it as a reality that we have to accept, Joe McCarthy. That's exactly what you're describing, and I think you're right. There are people in the country who will say, you know, Biden should never have allowed his son to be on a board and being paid, even though we have no evidence of wrongdoing. This is innuendo. It's not fact. So let's at least agree with this. As to people's emotions who are for Trump, I respect feelings and emotions. You use the word feelings many times, and I respect feelings. I will tell you this. I've never met a single Trump voter who thought it was okay to abuse a presidential power to fund military supplies to fight the Russians, contingent upon putting out a statement about a political opponent by a foreign government leader. You notice I stated a fact, not a feeling. When I asked a Trump supporter, is that okay with you? They will say, of course not. And then there will be a but he's still better than the Democrats. But at least I get people to admit facts and not feelings. The feelings I respect, facts other than Donald Trump.
Well, you might have to go door to door in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania next year.
Well, we're ahead even before all of this happened with Trump. We're now at 50% of the country that believes in removal of Donald Trump, not just impeachment. Polling shows that we will win at least those three states, and probably Arizona, North Carolina, and it could be a sweep of the whole country. Right. But when you have a president with a job approval rating that has never been over 50% since he's been in office, except perhaps the first few days of Honeywell after the inauguration, I don't believe that there's a chance that he's going to be elected.
The new New York Times poll is he's still neck and neck with the three leading Democrats. in those three states, but that's a different show. Last thing, you helped President Clinton when he was in legal trouble.
By the way, take a look at the size of the sample of the Senate report. There's a personalized error of 4.5%, which means it could be off by 9 points. So that poll is at least doesn't tell us much.
You helped President Clinton.
It doesn't tell us much.
Last thing, you helped President Clinton when he was in legal trouble and politically in impeachment trouble. How would you compare the Clinton war room effort that you were involved with to Trump's defense of himself?
Well, it goes back to the other caller's comments, and I'll compare it very easily. The facts were different. There was never an allegation of abuse of power against President Clinton. Out of 55 Republican senators, only 45 people voted for impeachment and removal of President Clinton. So the Clinton impeachment was about personal behavior that was offensive to many Americans. It had nothing to do with abuse of power. Alexander Hamilton and James Madison said, you must have a president abusing his power for personal purposes in order to impeach. That was never the issue.
There was an obstruction count, right? But I don't want to argue, Clinton.
You don't have to argue. You have to give me a response. The obstruction count was opposed in the Senate by 55 votes when the Senate had 55 Republican senators. That obstruction count was used to apply to a man who went in front of a grand jury on national television and told the truth about the relationship. What in God's name was obstructive about him going to a grand jury? Donald Trump wouldn't even be interviewed, much less go to a grand jury. So the apples and oranges isn't even close between what Clinton did and going in front of a grand jury and admitting to the truth to his eternal pain versus Donald Trump, who wouldn't even be interviewed, not under oath.
So very.
And there was never an allegation of abuse of presidential power as there is here.
Very different approaches to defending themselves. Attorney Lenny Davis, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.